If he's worthy of our praise, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we praise you. You're worthy. Worthy to receive glory and honor and power and praise and dominion. Hallelujah. We praise you, eternal God. We praise you, mighty God. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you'd like to go ahead and turn to your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, and even said something Wednesday night, I've been anticipating even tonight's service, and I want to encourage everyone that can possibly be here early to pray, come early and pray, and just believe in what the Lord's going to do this evening. And then on Tuesday morning, we have prayer meeting. Tuesday evening at 6 is our Women in Purpose meeting. And then our board meeting on Tuesday night at 7. And then Wednesday we have our kids outreach and our worship and Bible study in the sanctuary. And then I'm trying to do this without a bulletin. We got something on Friday, do we? No? Saturday. You want to make this now? Okay. We have expanded your ministry. We have put down Vaughn Hall cleaning, and that's always been enough to excite folks, but now we're going to add a few more buildings to it and projects. So we could use lots of people on Saturday. We're compiling a list of things to do, and we have it ready by Wednesday, perhaps, the list. And if there's something special you'd like to do on the list, you can just let Sister Hurst know. And we're looking forward to a great day on Saturday, beginning at 10 o'clock. Is that correct? At 10 o'clock. And a lot of things to do around the church. And it's always a wonderful time of fellowship. And then we always have a pizza party as a part of that. And so that's Saturday. And then a week from this Tuesday is our Thanksgiving service. And this year we are going to, you know, people get lost. People get lost below the surface of what we hear in the news. And all this in the Middle East, all the refugees and the horrible tragedy in Paris and all of that. Well, a part of that refugees that gets lost are Christians. And all of these nations in the Middle East undergoing this upheaval and this tension, Christians are suffering tremendously. They're displaced from their homes. They're ran out of their towns. Some of them are killed. And I know that the term Christian covers a huge umbrella, from political Christians to nominal Christians, but believe me, within that are Christians that would be that would be evangelical, such as ourselves, and they're suffering horribly. So this offering, this Thanksgiving, is a token of our gratitude of all God's given us. We're going to receive an offering for the suffering, persecuted Christians in the Middle East. And so be praying about that from our young people on up. Be praying about how you can give significantly in that Thanksgiving service. Got a lot of things planned for that service. Excited about that. And I hadn't even mentioned it this time, but we always have our Thanksgiving snack afterwards. And there's nothing like a piece of pumpkin pie with about 6 inches of whipped cream on top. And I've got to preach this morning. That'll be disturbing me as well as you. But look forward to that time of the year, a special time of the year. Genesis chapter 22, our series is Knowing God Through His Names. I don't want this just to be a mental thing. Thank you for standing. I want this to be an experience of His presence this morning through the preaching of the Word. Amen. You know, I've noticed it up here on this end, and I trust you've noticed it as well, but we've been talking about God in this series. It seems as we progress in the message, there's just a growing sense of His presence throughout that message. I want that to take place again today. I just want us, as we look at this, just have a growing sense of His presence. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 7, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And Isaac said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Men asked that for many centuries and millennium. Where is the lamb? Aren't you glad we don't have to ask this morning, where is the lamb? We know where the lamb is. Hallelujah. And Abraham said, my son, listen to this. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now, I'm not going to make it a part of my message, but I want to briefly mention there's three ways to take that sentence there. God will provide himself a lamb. One way is God himself will provide a lamb. He'll do it. Another is, this is tremendous, God will provide himself as a lamb. And another is probably closest to the truth, that if you look at the whole story, God will provide for himself a lamb. He's required a lamb, and he himself will provide the lamb he's required. Hallelujah. And so they went both of them together. And Abraham, this is after the incident, we'll look at the story in the message. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Could you say that with me across the building? Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now you say, wasn't Abraham naming the mountain Jehovah Jireh and not God? Well, yes, you have to understand something. It's like many of our mountains. It's a person's name that they're named after. Mount McKinley, Pike's Peak. And so after what happened on that top of that mountain, God, or Abraham gave that mountaintop a name for God, Jehovah Jireh. Amen. So this morning, I want to preach to us Jehovah Jireh. Would you say it with me one more time? Jehovah Jireh. Let's pray together, could we, as a people of God? Father, shut up our hearts in this place and remove every distraction. Lord, we confess openly and unashamedly we need more of you. We need to know more of you, experience more of your presence this morning. Lord, anoint me to preach this, God. Lord, anoint my mind, my heart, my lips. But Lord, may there be a difference in our hearts having heard from heaven this morning. God, just encourage somebody and strengthen them and empower them. Lord, we pray for that anointing. Lord, you take over. You move, Lord, and you speak in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Jehovah Jireh. Of course, we lived in the parsonage for 22 years. And in the morning, after I arose, I would come from the parsonage, and I would come through these side doors here to make my way to my office every morning. And many times it's still dark, depending on the time of the year. But I remember one period of time we had a special need, and it was financial in nature, or required finances. And we had been praying about that. So I got up early one morning, and I headed towards the church. And as I left the gate over there, I noticed there was something on the door, this door right here. And when I got closer, I could see my name on it, Pastor Hurst. And there was an envelope taped to that door. And so I took the envelope off the door, and I came back to my office, and I opened it up. And there were several hundred dollars cash in there. And said, for Pastor Hurst. Now, it had to be God, because this isn't exactly the vicinity where you just leave money taped to doors. Right? And it survived for I don't know how long. I know everybody's going to be looking when you drive in now. Look at the door, maybe. It was my name on it, too. But we've been praying about that, a need. Now, I want you to notice three things about that. First of all, God answered that need in a way you would not have expected. Who would expect that somebody would tape cash on a door? Secondly, I want you to notice that God had that provision put right in my path. It was right where I would encounter it. And thirdly, God met that need in a timely fashion. What do you have to say about all that, Pastor? Just this, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. God is a provider. Not just financially and materially. Those are just more concretely seen. But God is provider of all of our needs. He's a provider of our emotional needs. He is a provider of our mental needs. He is a provider, thank God, of our spiritual needs. He is a provider of our eternal need. Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Jireh. I want to talk about this to bring out his name Jehovah Jireh this morning. First of all, I want to talk about the setting of his name. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, you have to understand something. You and I, included in the people of the Bible, people get to know God most often when he shows up during trying and tough times. Amen. That's when you really get to know God. Few people get to know much about God in prosperous times and easy times. But I want to tell you, when times are trying, when you're in a time of test, when you're in a time of difficulty, God shows up and you get to know something more about God. Amen. We learn most about God in these times of testing, and thus it is with this name of God, Jehovah Jireh. This name was revealed to Abraham in a time of severe testing in his life. Now, I want you to know something. We all have tests, but I doubt any of us, and few ever have been tested by God to the degree that Abraham was. He went through the greatest, most severe testing. Amen. It involved that which he loved so dearly. Amen. God said to Abraham, go offer your son as a burnt offering. Amen. That tried everything Abraham had previously believed about God. It tried everything that he knew about God. And it also tried the greatest love of his life, his promised child. And yet, when that testing was done, he discovered that God was Jehovah Jireh. So what was the setting? Well, Abraham had been told of God that God would make of him a great nation. He would have a child, a promised child. From that child would come uncountable descendants. And through his descendant, all nations of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. And yet Abraham began to live with that promise and live to a great old age. And that promised child had not come. After all those years of waiting, finally, through a miracle of God, the promised child is born, Isaac. But Abraham had only had him comparatively just a few years. The boy had only grown into his teenage years, till one day the voice of God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, and offer him, whom you love, offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of Moriah that I will show you. Amen. What a test. What a thing to heard from God. Amen. I appreciate the song. I like the song. Our young youth choir, our young people sing, it's only a test. It's only a test. You like that? I liked it. But I want to tell you something. Abraham did not know. We know it. But Abraham did not know it was only a test. I said, Abraham didn't know it was only a test. As far as he knew, he had been asked to kill his own child. The interesting thing about Abraham is, though he was told to do this tremendous thing, Abraham never offered not one word of protest. I know it might have torn his heart out. It might have challenged his faith. It might have tormented his mine. But Abraham never protested. It just says in the morning, he obeyed. He got up. He chopped the kindling for the sacrifice. Amen. He called two servants. He called his son. He loaded the donkey and they headed off for the mountain that God would show him. Even they took 3 days' journey. After 3 days' journey, Abraham said, stop the donkey, stop right here. And he turned to the servants. He said, you too. Oh, I'm telling you, it's testing. It's trouble. It's torment. But through it all, Abraham had a faith because he said to those two servants, you two stay right here with the donkey because me and my son Isaac, we're going to go up yonder on top of the mountain to worship our God. And we, not me, we will return. Hallelujah. What a faith. Abraham then took the wood and he put it upon Isaac's back. And they started the trek, the hike up the Mount Moriah. As they were climbing, Abraham's not saying anything. He's in torment of mind and heart. But Isaac begins to contemplate. He begins to think about the wood on his back. Look at how his father is carrying a knife and a tinder box of fire for the sacrifice. And suddenly, it occurs to Isaac, something is missing. Something is missing. And he turns to Abraham. He says, Dad? Abraham said, yes, son. Dad, you've got the knife and you've got the fire and I am carrying the wood. But where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb? Oh, and then Abraham spoke words of faith that would come to pass 2,000 years later in a way we could never have imagined. Abraham said to Isaac, don't worry about it because God will provide himself a lamb. God's going to take care of the sacrifice. God is going to provide. They got on top of that mountain, and according to the commandment of God, Abraham built an altar. He placed the wood, arranged the wood on it, and then he took Isaac and he bound up his hands. Amen. And he bound up his feet, and he took his promise. He took the love of his life. He took his son in which ever hope, ever dream, ever promise was tied up. And he put his son upon that altar. And he raised his knife to plunge it into his son's heart and to sacrifice him. But before the knife could come down, I said before the knife could come down, the angel of the Lord spoke and said, Abraham, stop it. Don't go any further. Now I know that you love me because you've not withheld the thing that you love most. And at that moment, Abraham heard a rustling in the bushes behind him, and he turned, and there caught in the thicket was a lamb. And I want to tell you what happened. A glorious substitution happened. Isaac is taken off the altar, and the lamb is put on the altar in his stead, in his place. And when that lamb was sacrificed, Abraham declared to the heavens, declared to the earth, declared to us these 3,000 years later, he said, our God is Jehovah Jireh. He has provided. He provided the lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I said, hallelujah. He has provided the lamb. And so in verse 14, we read, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And even to this day, it's declared that in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. And I want you to see, this name was revealed in a time of great testing. But it was also revealed to somebody who cared to follow God, cared to love God, cared to be dedicated to God. Folks that don't care to know will never know about God. But if you care to know, it may be through a time of great testing, but you're going to know more about our God. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Abraham recognized on that mountain who God was. He is the God who will provide. Now let's get into the wonderful thing. That was the setting of the name. Let's look at the significance of the name. Last week, we talked about Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh is a compound name. It takes a name that's already known, puts another word with it, and makes another name. Last week we learned that Jehovah, and I'm not going to do anything but briefly review that. We learned that Jehovah meant literally, I am. In other words, God is the one who exists. Not only does he exist, he has non-derivative existence. That's just a lot of words to say. He is the self-existing one. He needs nothing. He needs no one. He self-exists. Jehovah is the one who is here now, and he will be there tomorrow because he is already in our tomorrow. He is the one who is the I am. We learned last week that Jehovah meant he is what we are not. He is what we are not. We learned last week is he is who we need him to be. He is the great I am. Well, what does the Jireh mean? Jireh means literally to see. To see. Now we're going to have to talk about it for just a few moments. But if you put the two words together in the compound, what do you have? Jehovah Jireh is the one who eternally is and he sees. He's the one who eternally is and he sees. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking to somebody this morning. He sees. He sees. He saw Abraham go up the mountain. He saw that Isaac was about to be killed. And he saw the place to put the lamb. He saw everything. He saw how it would play out. Hallelujah. He is the one who eternally is. And he sees. But you say, wait a minute, Pastor. You said that. But what does that mean? He is and he sees. Well, we must go back to what Abraham told Isaac when Isaac inquired of his father, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? We go back to verse 8. This is so important. We got to get this. Abraham answered Isaac and said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. We don't see it in English, but you can go to any Bible commentary and dictionary, and you can look at the original word behind provide, and you know what it is. The word behind provide is Jireh. What does Jireh mean? I already told you, it means to see. It means to see. Abraham said to Isaac, God will see to it that there is a lamb. God will see that there is a lamb. Jireh, to see. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor, I don't quite get that. How do you go from to see to provide? I mean, what is the stretch there? Well, we're going to learn that it's really not much of a stretch. Amen. You can think that. I thought that at first. How do you connect the God that sees to the God that provides? Well, let me just stop and say something about the attributes of God. Amen. God sees everything. God not only sees the past, he sees the presence. Right now, all things are open and naked unto the eyes of whom we have to do. He sees the past. He sees the present. But I want you to know God sees the future. It's not a problem for him to see the future because he's already there. He's the Jehovah. And being the Jehovah who's already in the future, he sees the future. Even some of you young people, you can't imagine yourself as old as I am. But God sees that when you're my age, you'll look worse than I am. No, I'm joking. Amen. God already sees the future. He sees the future of everyone here. Amen. Amen. He sees. Let me put it this way. God pre-sees. He sees before it happens. He sees before it takes place. He sees before it happens in reality. Could I say it this morning? God pre-sees. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, let me talk a little bit more about it. What's another word for see? Vision. So when I said God is a pre-seeing God, He is a God with prevision. And this isn't something I'm making up. First, the Bible was translated into Latin. And so when it used had the word see, the Latin used the word vision for the noun. And for the verb providing, they use pre-video. That's where we get our word video. It's the verb form of to see. And God pre-sees. Therefore, the Latin said when they translated, He's a God of prevision. Now, when Latin, we're a Latin language. We got some Germanic stuff thrown in there. But English, when it came, took the word from Latin prevision. We changed it a little bit. Doesn't change the meaning at all. But we went from prevision to provision. And that's a connection. To see is to provide. Amen. You say, well, I'm still not quite there. Well, let's talk about that and put it all together. Amen. God is a God who pre-sees. Therefore, He is the God of prevision. Therefore, He is the God of provision. Here's how that works. Amen. Have you ever stopped and wondered where that word provision comes from? I'm telling you what it comes from. Amen. How does that word that means God meets our need? He provides for our need. How does that have anything to do with seeing? Well, really, it's pretty simple. What God pre-sees, He has previsioned, and what He previsions, He provides. Oh, come on, stay right with me. What are you saying? He sees what your need's going to be in 5 years, and He's already provided to meet that need. Why? Because what God pre-sees, He provides to meet that need. For Abraham ever got up on that mountain, God saw that he would need a sacrifice. So God provided a sacrifice. God sees what you're going to need this week. He sees it as if it's already happened. I'm telling you, what God sees in your life, He will provide in your life. The noun, provision, to see. There's the gyra. Pro-gyra. He sees before it happens. In the verb providing, pre-seeing. And the connection is, in Abraham's mind to ours, it is what God sees we're going to encounter. He's going to provide what we need to meet that. Isn't that wonderful to know this morning? I don't know what your future holds. I don't know what my future holds. But I know God has previsioned it. And what He previsions, He provides the provision. So now we see how a word that means to see in advance has come to mean that God will meet the need. You say, I still don't quite understand it. Well, then let's use illustrations about mothers. We men don't quite have this knack about us. But I want you to think about mothers. Here it is, 1st of July. And they look at their kids and say, they're going to need school clothes. Well, why do they need school clothes? Let them wear the ones they had last year. Because by the time school gets here, they're going to have grown so much, they're going to need school clothes. Now, I'm not saying moms are exactly like God. Sometimes your kids might think they are. They see behind them and everything else, But the mom can see. Now, we're going to see in a moment that with men, it's just a prediction, even as good as a woman's intuition is. But seeing that her kid needs school clothes, at the end of July, she's already purchasing school clothes. She's seeing what they're going to need, so she provides the school clothes. Okay, maybe that illustration didn't go too far. Let me tell you about another person. Let me tell you about Jesus. He's up there out in the wilderness, and there's a crowd gathered, 5,000 men, plus women and children. It's early on in the day, and He's a teaching and He's doing whatever else He did. But He could see the future, and He could see at the end of the day, they're going to be hungry. He turned to Philip, and He said, now this happened right before the crowd even got there, before Jesus even began to open His mouth and teach. The Bible said when Jesus saw, did you hear me? When Jesus saw, He saw it, a great company come unto Him. This is at the beginning of the day. When He saw the great company coming unto Him, He saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? It's the beginning of the day, but Jesus saw by the end of the day that crowd is going to be hungry. Old Philip gets his calculator out, begins to make his calculations. Amen. And he says, now, Lord, he said, I'm worried here. I don't know how we're going to do it. It's going to take 200 penny breath worth of bread to feed this crowd. We don't have that money. And Judas, that's money. And Judas you know what Philip was saying? I don't see how we're going to meet this need. Amen. Andrew said, well, there's a lad here. He had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Andrew was saying, I don't see how we're going to feed them with this young kid's lunch. Oh, but then I like what it says. Jesus had asked Philip because he himself knew what he would do. He already saw. Not only did he see they were going to be hungry by the end of the day, he saw how he was going to meet that need. And I'm telling you, when the day came, the time of the day came that they were hungry, it was time to eat. Jesus took those loaves and fishes and began to divide and provided supper for that huge crowd. What are you saying, Pastor? What he saw, what he pre-visioned, he provided. And he's never changed in our lives. What he previsions happening in our lives, he's going to provide what we need. That's what Jehovah Jireh means. Oh, somebody say glory to God. Even in our language, if you still don't believe me, even in our language, we still consider to seed, to see, and to provide as synonymous. Now, wait a minute, but Pastor, I don't know if I believe that. You're saying that even now today, 2015, we think of to see and to provide as the same thing. How many believes me? How many believes me by faith? This used to happen a lot. Sunday, I'd say to Brother Brock, that thing's broke back there. You know what he'd say to me? I'll see to it. What do you mean? I'm going to take care of it. Don't we still mean the same thing? Even we, when we say, I'll see to it, it means we're going to provide for the need. I want to tell you, what does Jehovah Jireh mean? It means whatever need in your life, he's already said, I'll see to it. I'll see to it. Oh, glory to God. I'll see to it. I'll provide. I'll meet that need. Amen. One of the obvious difference between God and man is man cannot see the future. God can. We have the help of computers, but man's best computer generated models for weather and storms and global warming over and over, they're proved wrong. They get their prediction wrong. Why? Man cannot foresee and pre see the future. Amen. Whatever comments we humans make about the future, our future, they're mere predictions. They're educated guesses. They are surmising. But what man cannot do, God can do. He pre-sees. He sees the future and the promise in his name. Jehovah Jireh is what he pre-sees, what he pre-visions. He for his people will provide. Therefore, when Abraham was going up that mountain, he said, hey, Isaac, I don't see how this is going to work out. I don't see how I'm going to go through with this. I don't see how you and I are going to come back down off this mountain and worship God. But Isaac, I know one thing. God sees it, and he will see to it that there is a lamb for the sacrifice. Oh, somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Knowing all of that, let me bring it to this point. This story of Abraham naming that mountain Jehovah Jireh foretells of God's greatest provision and provision of all times. Even Isaac, even being replaced by the lamb, speaks to us of the provision of our substitute. Even this is a story about Abraham and Isaac on just the surface, but it's a further story. It's a story about God and all of mankind. It's a story about you and I. Amen. Amen. God made a substitute. We deserved to die. We was on the altar of death. We deserved the ultimate penalty. But being there like Isaac, on the altar we deserved to be on, to perish for our sins, God said, wait a minute. Don't kill them. They're not the sacrifice. I have provided my son, Jesus, to take their place. Hallelujah. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I mean, I don't have time to go into it. We could contemplate it for eternity. But before God ever created Adam and Eve, before man ever walked this earth, God already pre-saw, pre-visioned that man was going to sin. But Paul said, having seen before the foundation of the world that man was going to sin, that God also, before the foundation of the world, planned it all, that he would send Jesus to die in their place and to save them. Before Adam even existed, God already previsioned and provided the Lamb, our substitute. Oh, what a wondrous thing. Hallelujah. Pre-seeing man would sin, God provided the Lamb. And so I'm going to read it one more time. When Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, he was talking about more than just his son Isaac. He was talking about another person's son, the father's son. Here's the difference. In Abraham's time, there was a substitute to take Abraham's son's place. But what we're going to talk about in just a moment, there wasn't a substitute for the son. The son was the substitute. We're going to fast forward 3,000 years, and another father on that mount provided his son to be the sacrifice. For whom? For you and for me. What is this mount? This Mount Moriah. I want to mention the geography just briefly because this is so important. Mount Moriah is not this kind of peak. The top of Mount Moriah is a saddle. And I could go into the history that after Abraham's time, David's time, when the plague came, David right there at that threshing floor, he offered a sacrifice to stop the plague from killing the children of Israel. You remember when they tried to bring up the ark and they did it wrong? Abraham had to give a sacrifice to keep the plague from killing the people. You know where that took place? In that saddle of Mount Moriah. Later, David's son got ready to build the temple where countless animals were sacrificed. You know where he built that temple? Right there in that saddle of Mount Moriah. Amen. After David and Solomon, about 900 years later, Jesus came to that temple on Mount Moriah. Even there, he was condemned to a death. And further up on the northwest side of that saddle of Mount Moriah was a place called Calvary. And there, the ultimate substitution took place. Jesus died on the cross. Amen. Abraham sacrificed a son. The temple was built there. And Jesus, all in the top of that saddle-like formation of Mount Moriah, it all happened there. I want to tell you, Abraham knew what he was talking about. God will provide himself a lamb. Aren't you glad 2,000 years ago, God provided the lamb for us? He saw how bad you would need him. He saw how bad you would need salvation. He saw how bad you'd need deliverance. He saw that before you were born. He saw that before humanity was on the earth. And he looked ahead and he said, what I prevision, I'll provide. I'll provide my son as the sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh. Last of all, I don't want this point to scare you. I'm just summarizing. I'm not starting. I want to talk about the sermon from the name. In other words, what do we take home with us from this message? He is Jehovah Jireh. He's God, the provider, the seer. They are synonymous. What he sees, he provides. Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees and provides. Oh, I'm hearing all these things from Scripture. They're just bombarding me. What did he tell Moses about the children of Israel? I see their affliction. Therefore, I'm going to bring them out. Go all through Scripture. I see their misery. I'm going to send them a deliverer. What he previsions, he provides. He is the provider and the seer. I want you to know we're talking about more than Abraham. What does that mean to us? It means to us we're no less important to God than the people of the Bible. And he knows we're going beyond Calvary now. We're talking about the lives that we live, whether one of these young persons or one of the older ones of us. God sees what we're going to encounter. He knows what next week's like. He knows what next month is like. He knows what next year is like. He's already seen our future. And if we'll trust him like Abraham did, if we'll walk with him like Abraham did, when we get to that calamity, when we get to that predicament, when we get to that need that God has already pre-visioned in our life, when we get there, we'll have something else. We'll have the provision of God, because he is Jehovah Jireh. Even I already preach the greatest provision was the substitute, Jesus, for the salvation of our souls. But that does not mean he does not also provide in many, many other different ways. Let me give you one scripture for this. Even Paul said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he provided, Jesus is our Savior, he'll provide for the other needs too. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I don't care if it's financial, mental, emotional. If it's a need, God has previsioned it and he will provide for that need. Take that home with you. I said take that home. He wasn't just Jehovah Jireh for Abraham. He's Jehovah Jireh for you and for me. Hallelujah. Take it home. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Music, you can go ahead and come. I'm going to find a place to quit. Listen to me. Listen. I'm glad for it. I'm glad for technological advances. I'm glad for scientific advances. I'm glad for the state of medicine that we have. I'm glad for the prosperity we have in our land. Listen to me. Hear me. But through it all, the people of God have been cheated. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Some of you can remember. I want you to remember at times when it wasn't prosperous, when there wasn't a hospital on every corner, when there wasn't technology. I want you to go back in your minds and think about the testimonies you heard at church. How many knows what I'm talking about? You heard the testimonies. We didn't have any food in the cupboards to feed our children, but we prayed about it as a family, and the next morning we opened the door and there were bags of groceries sitting on the porch. How many knows what I'm talking about? There wasn't a doctor anywhere near. If there was one, we couldn't afford one, and the kid was sick and dying. Amen. Seemed like they're about to take their last breath, and we prayed to God and God healed that child. Thank God for the medicine. Thank God for the technology and science, but it's cheated the people of God out of the testimonies of his provision. I'm not praying for 100 times, but I am saying maybe we ought to look around. I said maybe we ought to look around and discover what all he has provided in our lives. That's number one. Number two, I want to tell you something. I'm not a calamity howler. I'm not just one that tries to stir up things and be negative. And I'm not claiming to be a prophet. But I'm telling you, if anything of what you and I are feeling in our intuition, when we look at this world, we're going to see things get to the point once again that we're going to need to know something. Amen. You may think I'm off, but I'm not. Things are going to get bad. You think what happened in Paris isn't likely to happen right here around us in our land? Very soon things are going to get bad, and the Christians have become the scapegoat. Amen. The jobs aren't there like they used to be. It's all a facade. Amen. I'll let Brother Bill fill you in just on how bad the finances are. But I'm telling you, everywhere you look, and there's something else. Back then when times got hard, they were tied back to the land. They knew how to plant the vegetables. They had land to till and put in a crop and chickens to raise. We don't have all that. Amen. I'm not trying to depress you. I'm just going to tell you this morning, very likely things are going to get so rough in my lifetime, so tough once again, that once again the people of God are going to need to discover that He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God that provides when the market crashes, when the jobs aren't there, when groceries aren't in the cupboard, when you can't afford health care. He is the God, Jehovah Jireh, who will provide. How many can believe it this morning? I'm promising to quit, but I'm really trying. We have problems because we can't see tomorrow. And Sister Martha, Aaron, that's one of the things that I prepared, the scripture I put in here to end this morning. Let me just rehearse a little more. Jesus, at the end of what He said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Take no thought for the things of the morrow. You know what He said? How can you do that? Especially the scene I just painted. How can we know all that and take no thought for the morrow? Well, Jesus told us how we can do it. Listen to what He says. He said, no man can serve two masters. That's where we're at. Hear me. That's where we're at. No man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one, love the other, despise the one, hold to the other, because you can't serve God and mammon. And then Jesus began the words that were read this morning. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet I say unto you that your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the feel how they grow. They don't they don't toil. Amen. They toil not. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Oh, isn't that a wonderful promise? What's he saying? He's saying, God seeing, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into an oven, shall he not much more clothe ye? Oh, ye of little faith. Amen. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Jesus repeated himself. And wherefore shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Be ye therefore not like unto them. Oh, but what did he say? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then he says, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself. Now listen, Jesus wasn't telling us not to take care of what we can see, but he was telling us, don't worry about what we can't see. He already sees that we need it. He already has provision, and what he has provisioned, he will provide. Therefore, we don't need to take thought for tomorrow. We can leave that to God and just seek his kingdom and let him add to us the things that we need. Aren't you glad he's Jehovah Jireh? Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We sang it this morning. Would you stand? All I have need of, thy hand hath provided. I want to ask you a question. I got just one little tiny illustration, but I want to ask you a question. I want you to think with me. What areas of your life do you need God's provision in this morning? I want you, it's between you and God. All of us, what areas in your life do you need God's provision in? He's Jehovah Jireh. He precedes that need. He will provide. Recently, they took a poll in the United Kingdom, in Britain. It was a nutrition foundation that took this poll. They interviewed 27 plus thousand kids between the ages of 8 and mid-teens. And they asked them simple questions of where food came from. Let me give just a few of those. One third of kids in this age bracket, from the age of 5 to 16, one third thought that cheese, they picked it off of plants. 33%. It's probably worse here. 33% thought they picked cheese off plants. Where does food come from? 25% thought that fish fingers were made out of chicken or pig. Nearly 1 in 10 was convinced that tomatoes grew underground. In the category of 5 to 8 year olds, 19%, almost 20%, believe that pasta, spaghetti, and bread came from an animal, were made out of meat. And 10% thought that potatoes grew on trees. They didn't know where their food came from. I want to ask a question. Do you know where your provision comes from? Do you know where the air you breathe, the clothes you wear, the food you eat? Do you know who provides that? Do you know who's going to provide mercy and grace and forgiveness and eternal life? Do you know who provides that? Jehovah Jireh. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Here's a little caveat. He pre-sees. The Father knoweth what we have need of before we ask Him. But He still said, ask Him. He pre-sees, previsions, provides. But He still asks us to ask Him. I want you to do something this morning. Whether you need God to provide salvation, or you need Him to provide for you financially, or physically, or mentally, I want you to come this morning saying, He is Jehovah Jireh. He previsioned my need, so He provides for my need. And I'm going to ask Him. I'm going to ask Him. Would you begin to come? Just say, I need to know Him. At this time of my life, I need to know Him as Jehovah Jireh. Would you come right now in my life? I need to know Him. Listen, I'm trying to be quiet, but as you're coming, I want you to remember, He's already pre-seen that thing. He has previsioned it. Now He will provide for what He has previsioned. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Jireh. Oh, why don't you call Him that as you pray this morning? Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees to it, the God who provides. Come on, let's be serious. We got some serious needs this morning. Call out to God. We'll be hearing those testimonies in church. God saw my need and He provided. God saw my need. Oh, He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Jireh. And if things are going well in your life, thank God. But just say, God, thank You that You provided Your Son as the sacrifice for my sins. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If He's provided His Son, He'll provide those other things that you need. Hallelujah.